If you're happy and you know it, then you really ought to show it. If you're happy and you know it. Turn with me to Psalm 42. There are many things that make for sadness in these days. Gloominess, sullenness, unhappiness, feeling kind of cast down. And we tend to show it. We tend to just kind of go along, and we don't have that gladness of the Lord. There's sickness, there's fear, worry, anxiety, uncertainty, crime, waywardness, the plague of our own hearts, hatred, crime, immorality, corruption, financial woes, family woes. Cheer up, ye saints of God. There's nothing to worry about, nothing to make you feel afraid, and nothing to make you doubt. Sing with me. Remember, Jesus never fails, so why not trust him and shout? Ye'll be sorry ye worried it all te body morning. Where are all the children that keep asking me to sing that? In Psalm 42, we read in verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, the help of his face. God has a smiling face. God has a happy face. I need to look at his face. So Brother Paul reminded us, beholding, we become. We behold the smiling face of God, and it changes our face that we might have a smile as well. Verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. His countenance changes my countenance. His face changes my face. Again, in Psalm 43, in verse 2, for thou art God, thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. O, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto my exceeding joy. I like that phrase. God, my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. He makes me to have a healthy countenance. I was considering looking at the idea of joy and looking at it through the scripture, and I came to the Old Testament and I found, wow, we'll be here until the snow melts if we would go through all the expressions of joy and gladness and rejoicing. The Old Testament is just absolutely filled with it. So I decided to go through just the Gospels of the New Testament. So go with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke, Gospel of Luke, and chapter 1. It was a day of sadness. It was a day of gloominess, day of doubt. Israel was not exactly in the place where they should be. They were under the oppression of the Romans, and things were not going so necessarily so very well for them. They didn't have the freedom and the joy and gladness of former days. And so God was about to enter into that with hope, with joy. And so in Luke chapter 1, and in, let's go back to verse 13. An angel is talking to Zacharias. And he said, the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. God is about to send some joy. He's sending a forerunner to the Lord Jesus, John the Baptist. And through John the Baptist would come joy. Looking down at verse 44. And as John the Baptist was about to come into the world, in came to their house Mary, who was great with child, who was expectant. And we're told there that when Elizabeth, verse 44, as soon as the voice of Mary's salutation came into her ears, the babe leaped in her womb for joy. There was about to be joy come to the nation Israel. God was bringing it joy. And of course, in chapter 2 of the gospel, we read that God dispatched some angels once again, in verse 10, to some shepherds to give them an announcement of joy. Luke chapter 2, verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, spontaneously, all at once, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Joy had come into the world. And of course, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord has made known unto us. And so they hurried with joy. We'll come back to the New Testament, but look in the book of Isaiah for a moment. Isaiah chapter 61. This Savior who was to be born would later speak these words, share these words in the synagogue. In Isaiah 61 and verse 1, the Lord Jesus, quoting it, speaking of himself, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings, glad tidings, good news unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And of course, our Savior came that he might do those things, that he might turn our ashes into beauty and our mourning into garments of praise, that we might be Christmas trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Joy, of course, is not dependent on things good or bad happening. God's joy is permanent and precious, permanently pressed. In other words, it doesn't have any wrinkles, needs no ironing out. It's always wearable, God's joy. And we ought to express that more and more. The Lord Jesus said that he spoke in things in John chapter 15, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, a permanent joy, a precious joy, and that your joy might be full. Remember, he said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. As the end of his life, as he was about to leave them, he said, you now have sorrow, but you will see me again. Your heart shall rejoice. Your joy shall no man take away from you. And then he says, pray. Pray. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. God wants us to have the fullness of joy. Fullness of joy always. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to be a Cheshire cat, smiling with a great grin all the time. But there ought to be just a pleasantness, a lightness, not walking around with a heaviness and heaviness of heart. Our expression ought to show it. Wherein is joy? Where am I going to find joy? Well, in Matthew chapter 2, well, let's look at that. In Matthew chapter 2, there were some men in the east. They were looking up. They were looking up at the sky. They were lifting up their eyes. Which is what we need to do so that we're not looking down at our misery. They were looking at the sky when they noticed a different star. And they knew it meant the King of the Jews had been born. Well, they must see this king. No expense was too great. No danger was too great. They would go. They would go all the way to Bethlehem or to Jerusalem, to the capital of Israel, looking for the king. And where to find a king but in Jerusalem, in the king's palace. But he wasn't there, of course. No, they were told to go to Bethlehem. The Old Testament scriptures had reported that he would be born in the city of Bethlehem. And so they left the palace of King Herod and started on their journey to Bethlehem. And then in chapter 2 of Matthew and verse 10, verse 9, when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star that they had seen in the east suddenly reappeared, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Wow. Where is joy? Joy is in seeing God's plan outworked. They saw the plan of God coming to pass, and so there was great joy. We look. We see many events shaping place, taking place, taking shape. And we know that his coming is soon. We see the plan of God. There's joy in looking ahead and seeing that which is about to come. Chapter 5, just a few pages over. We're living in a time when it's never been that popular to be a Christian, to be a believer, to walk and follow the Lord, a time when there is persecution and when persecution is coming and perhaps getting greater. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, verse 11, the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Where is joy? The wise men saw it in looking up. We see it even in persecution, sharing the reproach of Christ and sharing the reward as well. Where do you find joy? Where shall we look for it? I'll turn to chapter 13. And we see that the seed of the Word of God is sown in various kinds of ground. But notice that in chapter 13 And verse 20, he that received the seed into stony places is the same that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Now, he didn't do very much with that seed, unfortunately. It didn't grow up to bear fruit, but at least it was received with joy. Where do you find joy? Wherein is joy? It's found in listening and giving heed to the Word of God. What a privilege we have to hear the Word of God. The Word of God is joy to us. Chapter 25 of Matthew. The Lord speaks a parable of the talents. And when the first one comes in and shows forth the fruit of his labor, his Lord said to him, verse 21, chapter 25, 21, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, for thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." In being faithful, we find joy. There is joy in being faithful. Chapter 28. In chapter 28 and in verse 8, well, the background a little bit, it was a sad time. Again, things did not look very well. The disciples and all were quite discouraged, sheltered away. But coming to the tomb, they find in chapter 28, verse 6, an angel said, "He is not here, for he is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. There is joy in knowing that he lives. There's a message of good news to tell. Go tell it on the mountains. He lives, and he lives within my heart. In the Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and chapter 10, the Lord Jesus had 12 disciples, of course, but there were others. And at this point, he sent out 70. He sent them out two by two. And they went out preaching throughout the cities. And in Luke chapter 10 and verse 17, "And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." Skip down to verse 21. "The Lord said to them, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Not the wise and prudent. You don't have to be there. But babes. Simple ones. Those God puts his truths on the lower shelf so that all may partake. Rejoice because God reveals to babes, to those who want to know. Now chapter 15. And you will remember chapter 15 and in verse 7. Well, in verse 6, we find that a shepherd has found his sheep, which was lost. In verse 7, "I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Joy in heaven over sinners who repent. Imagine that. There was joy in heaven over you. Heaven rejoiced that day when you turned and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your only God and Savior. Again in verse 10, speaking of the woman who found the peace that she had lost, the Lord Jesus makes the application again, verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Well, who's in the presence of the angels of God? God himself. God is the one rejoicing. The angels rejoice, but God himself rejoices over one sinner that repenteth. Like, for example, in chapter 19, there was that little man, short stuff, Zacchaeus was his name, and nobody noticed him very much, not just because he was short, but they didn't want to notice him because he was a tax collector and they didn't like him. But the Lord noticed him. The Lord saw him, and he came right to him and called him by name in Luke 19 and in verse 5. Jesus came to the place and looked up, saw him, and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. There is joy when one sinner, when God looks up and sees one sinner. There's joy in the fact that God is looking at me, little me, in the midst of the 7+ billion in the world. God's looking at me. There's joy in that. I should have mentioned back in chapter 15, I won't make you turn back there, but in the other parable or the other story of the prodigal son, there was joy at the restoration of a wayward soul. There are many who are wayward. There are many who are going the wrong way. How good it is when we see one turn back and return unto the Lord. We have some wayward ones, some ones that have gone astray, who have left us. Good to pray for them. How exciting it would be, how joyful to see them return unto the Lord. There's joy in wayward souls returning to the Lord. I already mentioned that there's joy in prayer. The Lord Jesus said in John 16:24, hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask and receive that your joy may be full. There's joy in prayer and in being able to communicate with our Heavenly Father. To the book of Acts and chapter 8. There's joy in the advancing of the gospel. In those early days, after the day of Pentecost, there was trouble. There was trouble. The believers were often persecuted. They were sought after. They were imprisoned. They were even put to death. And one of the ringleaders was none other than Saul of Tarsus. And in chapter 8 and in verse 1, we read that Saul was consenting unto the death of Stephen, back in chapter 7. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. They were not scattered, but the people were. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And reading on, Saul was making havoc of the churches, entering into houses, hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere into holes and just afraid. No, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. And there was Philip in verse 5, who went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people, verse 6, with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Unclean spirits crying aloud with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. And many were taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city.
great joy. Doesn't it rejoice your heart to read the work of Pradesh and the things that are going on there? Joy, because the word of God is proceeding, it's going forth. Joy when you read of the prisoners and the responses that we get as the word of God goes forth. There is joy. Where are you going to find joy? Find joy in the advancement of the gospel. Chapter 20 in Acts. We find joy in God's plan, God's direction, God's leading. Though we often don't know where he leads or why he leads in some directions. The cloud stops, we stop. The cloud moves, we move. We follow his marching orders. That Saul of Tarsus, who came to know the Lord Jesus, was in that kind of place. And there was often trouble and danger that awaited him. But in chapter 20 and in verse 24, he learned to say, "None of these things move me." What moves us? The trials, the troubles, the sickness, the waywardness, our own stubborn hearts. "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." I want to run my course. I want to finish my run. I want to finish my course with joy. The will of God, God's plan, God's direction, God's leading is joy. Where are you going to find joy? You'll find it in God's direction. In Romans 15:13, that same apostle said, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." Joy, there's joy in believing. The people of Macedonia were going through many trials of affliction, and they were poor. And yet when they had the opportunity to give, to send gifts to those in need in Jerusalem, they gave themselves first. They gave of their substance. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're told that they gave in joy. Out of their deep poverty, they gave out of joy. There's joy in giving. Galatians 5 speak of the fruit of the Spirit. There's joy in the Holy Ghost. Philippians, you might turn there. Philippians chapter 2. The country is so divided. People have a hard time speaking peaceably one to another. A lot of name calling and so forth. What a joy to be with a crowd that's like-minded. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul says, "Fulfill my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." What a joy to be together with those of like precious faith, like-minded. Where is joy? There's joy in other believers. And Paul said to the Thessalonians, "What is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy." There's joy in looking ahead. Hebrews chapter 12. "Forgetting those things which are behind," said Paul, "reaching forth to those things that are before." We need to know that 2020 is going to pass. Everything around us is going to pass. Things are, who knows what the next is going to bring. But whatever it brings, that too shall pass. But think of the Lord Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him He could only look ahead to joy. He had to endure the cross. Can't imagine the awfulness of that. Despising the shame. But he looked beyond that. He knew that that was just a means to an end, and a very great and wonderful end, that through that he would bring many sons to glory. The joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and gloomy and grumpy and faint in your minds. We ought to have joy in looking to him. James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you come into temptations, testing. Because we know that they are developing us. So we can look beyond them. There's joy beyond the temptation. So count it joy, because you know that it's just one of the all things that work together for good for us, for glory to God. And John says in 3 John, there's joy in truth walkers. I have no greater joy, he said, than to hear that my children are walking in truth. How exciting to hear that other believers are walking in truth, especially our young people. So why art thou cast down? Show forth the calm and smiling face, the radiance of God's presence. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The world needs to see the face of joyful saints, loving their Lord, not weighed down by the affairs of this life, but beaming with the radiance of God. Enter into the joy of God. One more verse. We'll go back to the Old Testament. Zephaniah. Well, maybe I should have said two more verses. Zephaniah chapter 3. If you find Zechariah, turn back a little bit. Zephaniah chapter 3. God is a God of joy. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Learn to sing back to God. God is singing over you. Learn to sing back to God from the heart. Now, Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8. It was a difficult day for Nehemiah. They were rebuilding the walls. They had enemies all around them, seeking to keep them from finishing that work and threatening them. But they accomplished the job, and they read in the scripture. And Nehemiah said in chapter 8, in verse 10, he said to them, after they had the day of celebration, he said, go your way. Eat the fat and drink the sweet. And send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so I say to us, we're going our way. We'll be leaving here, going our way. We'll be eating and drinking and so forth. Christmas is coming. And we'll eat the fat of the land. We will send portions to others. We won't be sorry. But we'll let the joy of the Lord be our strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength in these days.